Welcome to the Lavo Show podcast. Conversations with outstanding human beings whose love has been inspired and transformed by Osho. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Svaghito. Svaghito is a psychotherapist, meditation teacher, and author of 3 books translated into 9 languages. Svaghito holds a degree in psychology from Munich University and has been working with people since 1981. Svaghito travels extensively across the world, offering various courses and training programs, and is a specialist in family constellation. I'm so happy to have Svaghito on the show, and I hope you enjoyed. Svaghito, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm happy to talk to you. I'm well, thank you.
Excellent. Okay, so today is a special episode completely dedicated to Mira. Mira left her body in February 2017 in a sudden accident while scuba diving. For those who don't know Mira, Mira was one of the world leading art therapists and very much loved by Osho. Many people shared how meeting Mira transformed their lives and helped them discover their creative potential and love for meditation. More than 40 books by Osho have full color and papers reproducing Mira's paintings, and her artwork can be found in many museums and galleries. So, Svaghito, you have been in a loving relationship with Mira for 25 years. So, first of all, how did you and Mira meet?
Okay, so we met in an Osho center in Munich, where Mira was having a course, and I had a practice close by. And I knew Mira because Mira was always famous sannyasin and famous disciple and course leader of Osho. So I was borrowing some of her paintings to have in my practice. And so we agreed, and I was hanging these paintings there in my practice rooms. And of course, they were expensive, so I couldn't sell them in the year. So at the end of 1 year, Mira wanted them back, and I was a bit disappointed. But I replaced them by some of her prints instead of her originals. So I returned her paintings to her, and I think she was not so happy the way I returned them, because I rolled them and I had them not so proper packed. So she was a bit upset with me about the way I returned her paintings. So there was a little friction. And then when we met again in Pune, she felt a little sorry that she was upset. So she invited me to her painting studio in Pune, and she gave me as a gift one of her small original paintings. And at that time, I wanted to invite her for a dinner to the Blue Diamond Hotel. So that's basically how our relationship started.
That's very sweet. And it's beautiful to hear that you met in a Osho center. So somehow you are united by Osho and in Osho. So I've met Mira in Miasto, Italy, and I saw her a few times in Pune, last time actually with you. And she came across to me as if you get what you see. I got the impression that she was herself in every situation. Nothing is hidden. However, I'm wondering if there is any aspect of Mira that you would like to share that perhaps is less known to people who did not have a chance to meet her so intimately as you did.
Yeah, of course, Mira had many aspects. On one hand, in the group, she could be very sharp Zen master, and you could get a hit of her anytime. And on the other hand, she was a sweetheart. So, of course, she was a very playful person. You know, I never met with anybody where we played so much. So Mira and me, we were always playful and playing. And even so, she was Japanese. She was very direct and spontaneous. So in a conversation, you couldn't expect what she would say or do in the next moment. So she was very spontaneous and unpredictable. And she was very outspoken. So she didn't like something, she was very direct and would express it very quickly. And some people, therefore, were a bit afraid of her also. I once remember we were together at a spiritual festival where there were some so-called satsang teachers or people who thought they are enlightened. And then later they came and I heard they said, oh, we're very afraid of Mira, because Mira was so confrontative and could be so direct. And some people were sometimes afraid of her. And on the other hand, she was such a sweetheart, so everybody really loved her, even so she was direct. I don't remember anybody except Osho who was loved by so many people. So when she left the body also, there was this huge love wave all over the world. And I was really overwhelming to see and to experience how many people loved Mira. And there were even people who never met her, and they felt, we feel so touched and moved by Mira, and we never actually met her. So they were surprised themselves that they felt so affected by Mira's work, and also at the time when she left the body, they were so moved. So Mira was really a very unique and special person, and I have never met anybody who has so much aliveness and joyfulness in her. So she was always ready to play and to dance. Actually, when we traveled, she would dance sometimes on the airport. She would put her iPhone on and earphones, and then in the queuing, in the waiting line, she would just dance there in the airport or anywhere where we traveled sometimes. She would just put her music on and she started dancing. So she really lived the name, because Mira actually is a name given by Osho. And there was an enlightened mystic in India, and her name, many people know, her name was also Mira. And when she became enlightened, she was dancing through the villages. That was her expression of her enlightenment. And it's not an accident that Osho chose that name Mira for her, because Mira also had this quality of dancing, of enjoying, of being alive and spontaneous. She really embodied that quality.
I'm aware that Osho loved Mira very much and asked her to lead art therapy groups. Yeah. How would you describe the relationship between Osho and Mira, and how did Osho help Mira in her personal and artistic development?
When basically it was a very unique meeting between Mira and Osho, because when Mira came to Osho, she didn't actually ask for sannyas, but she was just in a darshan at that time. That was in, I think, in 76 or 75. And Osho would see people personally. And then she just was sitting there with her boyfriend at that time. And he said to Mira, come closer and close your eyes. I have a present for you. She closed her eyes, and then he put the mala around her. And he told her, and this is your new name, Ma Anand Mira. Ma means mother, Anand means bliss, and Mira means I don't tell you, you will find out. And that's how she became a sannyasin. So they had a really special relationship, I think, if you can call the relationship between a disciple and a master a relationship at all, because it's not a usual kind of relationship. But Osho inspired Mira's artwork a lot, because sometimes he sent her messages what to paint. For example, he said to her, why you paint only one moon? Paint many moons. So she started putting the reflections of the moon in her paintings. And her moon paintings are actually really famous. And one time he said to Mira, paint a night rainbow. And then she made a whole series of night rainbows, because normally for our mind, it doesn't make any sense. Night and rainbow, how is that possible? So there were many messages from Osho to Mira to expand her mind, because we all have a certain mind and the mind always keeps us in a box. So I think Osho helped Mira a lot to expand her mind and her vision of how to look at things. So accordingly, her paintings developed like in this way. And also Mira gave many private exhibitions for Osho, where she was asked to make a display of her paintings in Lao Tzu House. And then Mira was not present, but Osho would visit all her exhibitions and her paintings. And many times she just watched them, and sometimes he sent a message, and many times he didn't say anything. And then Mira remembered that one time she received a message when she hadn't shown any of her paintings. And the message was, now your paintings are beautiful. Now you start art group. And that was in 1977 or 8, I don't remember. And that's how Mira started art groups, because it was not her idea to lead painting courses and painting trainings. It was actually a message from Osho to do that. Because normally an artist not necessarily thinks of leading courses and groups. They usually go in her studio and then they paint there. So on his suggestion, he and her boyfriend at that time, they started doing art groups in the ashram. And so that's how she started working with people and was in the end of the 70s.
That's fascinating. And just to mention for people who might not know, Bamira became one of the leading art therapists in the whole world. And, you know, I met so many people who reported that just attending one of Mira's groups, they were totally blown away and transformed. So, yeah, she must have done something very beautiful and powerful through painting.
Well, normally in art therapy, you use art for therapeutic purposes. And in Mira's vision, that is quite a limitation because you don't consider the painting as a valuable thing in itself. You use it for helping the therapeutic process. But in Mira's courses, she did actually both. She used painting as a therapeutic tool, and she used help people to make beautiful paintings at the same time. So she used also... She understood that creativity in itself has a transformative value in itself. So by becoming creative and knowing how to be creative, you transform yourself in this way as well. So it's not just a therapeutic tool when you learn to paint. So in this way, Mira took people beyond the ordinary art therapy.
I see. Okay. And then I'm sure that there was something from the beyond going through her. There must have been something because, you know, she was kind of extraordinary in her presence and just influencing people just by being there, I would assume.
There was a time, I think, for 1 year, Mira went to this course and then she went home and paint without thinking much. And she's told me, and I just let my hand move after listening to Osho's discourse, and a beautiful painting came out of it. And there were a series of these paintings where she even refused to sign her name. And she told me that one of the galleries where she had an exhibition was very upset because she wouldn't sign her name. And then she said, yeah, but how can I sign my name on something that just came through me? So for me, that was a good example how when you become creative, you actually disappear. You can't claim it as your creation. And it's like Osho said, creativity is not yours. It is from the beyond. The creativity belongs to existence, not to you. Real creativity in a way, and it is quite contrary to what is usually happening in the world, because usually a painter or an artist stands out as somebody special. And the real creativity is actually different. It's more you let yourself disappear.
Yeah, it's a big lesson there. We're all driven by ego and, you know, we make something beautiful and we want to immediately claim it. And it's amazing to hear how she would not even be interested in putting the signature there. So thanks for sharing that. So let's talk about death for a moment, which is something that lately I've been thinking a lot personally. You publicly recounted the tragic events of Mira's death in a 3-part story published on Osho News. And reading your story, what strikes me the most is to notice how you face those moments, which was very different from what ordinary people would normally do in those circumstances. To me, this shows that you are a real sannyasin, that you really are with Osho and Osho's worked on you and how you're truly transformed. Just to mention for people who don't know much about Osho's teachings on death, can you explain why you did what you did when Mira died? And I'm referring to things like wanting to be close to her body, cremate her as soon as possible, playing Osho's songs or dance and celebrate around her lifeless body.
Well, of course, Mira's leaving the body was maybe my biggest trauma in my life, I must say, and it really put me in a totally different space. And of course, it was also a no-mind space in a way. Even so, it was so shocking. it is also was a real experience of being out of your mind and out of your personality. But of course, what helped me a lot is to be in contact with Osho's message, and which means to celebrate everything, and especially, as he says, death is the culmination of life. It's not the end of life, but death is where life finally leads us to. And so death is not the end, but it is the final ultimate peak of life. And so in a way, rather than mourning, we should celebrate such a moment. Of course, I cannot exactly say if I were in a celebrative mood, because it was also such a sudden experience and such a shocking experience. But in a certain way, it was suitable for Mira, because she was such a sudden person. So everything she did was unexpected suddenly, and there was no preparation. So in a way, that was her style of living, was also her style of leaving the body. But of course, I tried to do my best to whatever I could to help her on her ongoing journey, even I'm not sure if she actually needed my help, because it was more that when I tuned into her and I felt her in such a blissful state, it was more that she helped me than rather than me helping her. And ever since she left, I feel her very much around me, and I feel her, her support and her help on my future journey all the time. Just like I feel Osho's presence, I feel Mira's presence, and when I tune in, I feel their help, actually, how to be creative, how to let go, how to open yourself, how to say yes, and how to move more deeply into gratitude. Because there's always a choice, you know. If your loved one leaves you, you can go into misery about it, which of course is also there. But you can also choose to move into gratitude that you were allowed to spend so many precious moments with that person, and you were allowed to share so much of your lifetime with this person. So in a way, it's your choice whether you decide to move into gratitude or into misery. So it's good to remember this, that it is actually always your choice what happens in your life.
Yeah, and I want to thank you for sharing this, because since I became aware of these events and I read your story, then I started thinking of my life, and I thought, you know, if this happened to me, how would I react? And, you know, there are moments where I think if Chetna would just leave suddenly, I'd be totally in pieces. It would be like total darkness and emptiness. And so it's beautiful to hear that, you know, there is another side of it, and there is a choice to be able to be grateful for all the beautiful moments lived together. So, you know, I just want to thank you for that, just to keep it in mind. But I'm sure it must have been not easy, and even now for you. So what would you say is the biggest lesson you learn out of this experience?
That is not so easy to say in short, but one thing is, I definitely learned that you can't prepare for anything, and you have to be ready for anything, any moment. So the best way to be prepared is to live your moment so fully and totally that there's nothing left, that you're always ready for the next moment. Because even you can't prepare for your beloved leaving in a single moment. Nobody can prepare for it. I don't think there's any way one can prepare for that, but you can only be each moment and live each moment. So that is certainly one thing I think I learned from that, or I'm reminded about. And the other thing, which is, since Mira left, I'm very interested in but my topic is more focused on learning how to let go of yourself, how to disappear. Because if you can do that when you're still alive, that's the only way how you can learn to let go and how to die eventually in the right way. So that is my meditation now, no? How to learn how to disappear. Even so, meditation is always an approach, learning how to disappear, but Mira's leaving made it much more clear to me than ever before that this is a biggest task in one's life. Also, I'm much more focused on what is essential in life and not so much anymore have the usual desires that we all have in life. They are lost a lot of their importance to me. So I'm much more, in a way, you could say, my body is, even so it was a trauma, but my body is more relaxed because I'm not so much pursuing the usual desires that we all have to go here, to go there, to do this, to do that. And when you don't have that, in a strange way, your body becomes more at ease, more relaxed. And I have actually more energy in a certain way because I'm not losing my energy in meaningless things.
Okay, well, that it's very deep and makes a lot of sense. And I think it's part of Osho's teachings. But I guess when something so powerful and dramatic happens to your own life, then you have an opportunity to really experience that for yourself. So it looks like you had that big shift inside, and thanks for sharing it. So let's talk about what happens after Mira's departure. And Mira's departure was celebrated with a global live celebration held in Tokyo, and it was broadcasted live on Facebook. And I know that Chetna, I couldn't attend, unfortunately, I wasn't available at the time, but Chetna participated to the celebration via Facebook, and she said that she felt an incredible energy, as if being in a very powerful Osho event, as if Osho's was there. So how would you explain that? How is it possible to feel Osho's present via Facebook from miles and miles away while something is happening in Japan?
To tell you the truth, I don't know. It's a mystery. I just know that there is something where we are all connected in a strange way. And it's mysterious. But there is something which is beyond what we know, what our mind knows. And there is something where, obviously, nobody dies. And in this way, some experience like this is possible. Because also I was told from many people that they had the experience that Mira, actually, after she left the body, she visited them in very particular ways where they felt, even they didn't know that Mira had left the body, they suddenly felt Mira's presence. And so there must be something where even the body disappears, we don't disappear, and we are connected.
There are some things that cannot be explained. They're really mysterious, but it's almost foolish to deny them because they do happen. You know, many people who are sensitive, they do feel that. And so it's a reality that exists at least in many people's lives. So maybe one day it will be possible to explain, but or maybe not. So since Mira left, you have been conducting various events in her memory, like exhibitions of her paintings, and you even managed to run all the groups and trainings that Mira had scheduled for that year. How did you manage to do that, and what was your motivation for doing it?
Actually, having Mira's artwork, taking care of her paintings and her work and her group was one of the main things that helped me to deal with her leaving the body. Actually, I had no other interest at that when she left than doing that. I was no more so interested in doing my own works. They were my own work. It was just almost meaningless for me. And the only meaning I found was I now want to take care of her artwork and of her work with people. And I want to make sure that it can continue. And I felt this is the only thing I can do now for her. And that was my biggest motivation, actually, to continue my life. So, and still, it is still in a way like this. I started now, I feel now more to do my work as well. I have more energy for it again. But still, my primary focus is still to make sure that Mia's work continues, which is also why I created the foundation in Japan and in Germany. And this is one of my main focuses in my life right now.
Okay, so what are you up to at the moment? It sounds like you are a little split between, you know, Mira's work and your own work. So would you like to share what you do in your work? I know that you are famous for family constellations, but I don't know if you do anything else or what kind of activities and trainings and group you offer.
I wouldn't say that I'm split between Mira's and my work. It's more like these two things are melting together. I'm attending Mira's trainings. I'm training her assistants more as group leaders. I'm now going next Sunday to Miasto because we're going to renovate a building. So we're going to have a permanent museum close to Miasto where we exhibit Mira's artwork. Then we have going to have exhibitions. Now we had one big one in Munich. Next year we have one in Tokyo, in Naples, many places. And I always, when I do my own courses, I do events for Mira. I do evenings for Mira where I show her video and I show her original paintings also and her prints. And even in my own trainings, when I do family constellation or I do counseling trainings or male-female work, I usually include some painting session there because I discovered, and I still discover more and more, the value of using art and creativity as a tool for transforming you. I'm still learning from Mira how she did that, so I started including her work in my own courses. So it's more like it becomes a melting of my work and Mira work. Even so, there's, of course, I still do family constellation, and there's still the art work from Mira there as separate things. But still, I feel they're starting to melt together. And when I see this, this is really very satisfying for me to see.
Wow, beautiful. And sounds like your relationship with Mira is deepening even more now. So where people can find you if they want to know more about your activities or get in touch with you?
So there's a foundation website. It is miraartfoundation.com, where all the art and creativity courses you can find, and also you can read about Mira and see her paintings. And then I have my own website, which is familyconstellation.net. And there is, you can see my courses and my schedule and read about the family constellation work or counseling work, or I have a new work, moon training, which is called Working with People, which is over 6 modules. So all this is written on my website. So I'm running 2 websites basically now. And also on Facebook, you can find the Mira Art Foundation, or you can find me under Diane Swakito.
Okay, wonderful. And I'll link all of that into the show notes so people can find you there. Brilliant. So I've got 3 final questions for you. The first one is, what's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours of your day?
When I stand up, I sit for an hour. Mostly I do that. Since Mia left, I mostly sit an hour. If I'm really, for some reason, not able to sit the whole hour, then a little less. But mostly I sit 1 hour. And then I do some stretching, and then my day starts.
Okay, so the second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why?
In this moment, sitting silently is my favorite meditation. I close my eyes and I watch my mind and I let the movie of the mind pass. And this is also for me a way to connect, not only with Mira, also with Osho, and having moments of emptiness in this way. So this is my favorite meditation. And I do that usually in the morning and also in the evening when I go to sleep, to take this feeling of watching with me into the night.
Okay.
Of course, this I also offer dynamic and kundalini, but I'm not at the moment not doing so many active meditations anymore myself. Even so, I think it's valuable, and I think it's valuable to do that. Sometimes I still do it also, but mostly I enjoy sitting now.
Okay, so the last question is, you lead the Osho experiment. You were one of the pioneers in this movement of creating a new man, Zorba the Buddha. What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho today in 2019?
Well, my life is Osho life, so I can't really say if there's anything special because actually my life developed through meeting Osho. So to spread Osho's message and words throughout the world, this is the meaning of my life, I can say. And the message is simple. It is love and meditation, love and awareness. So in a way, I would say love is the most important thing in life. To meet love, to spread love, to experience love, and to do that with awareness. So love with awareness and meditation. For me, this is the essence of also Osho's teaching. And to be involved in that, I would say, is also the meaning of my life right now.
That's very beautiful, and thank you so much. So, Svagito, that's the end of the episode. And I really want to thank you so much for opening your heart. And I'm so happy that we are giving space to the memory of Mira. She was an extraordinary person, and clearly came out of you and the interview. So I just send you lots of love, and thank you again.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Lavo Show podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. Visit lavoshow.com for new episodes, blogs,
and much more.